The Simulation We Choose. Chapter 4. Human Nature and Behavioral Shifts. Humanity's greatest advancements often stem from a simple impulse: to make life easier. From the wheel to the smartphone, we innovate to remove friction. But while technology has propelled us forward, it has also sharpened our instinct to avoid discomfort. In simulations, whether they appear as social platforms, digital ecosystems, or algorithm-driven services, friction is designed out. The world bends to fit our needs, often before we know we have them. This aligns perfectly with our psychology. We are not drawn to simulations because they are forced upon us. We choose them because they cater to the part of us that has always sought ease over hardship. And why wouldn't we? But ease is a slippery slope. A life curated for comfort risks becoming one devoid of depth. The tools meant to empower slowly become crutches, reshaping the very way we engage with reality. The seduction of convenience. Consider how often inconvenience steers decisions. People opt for rideshares over public transport because waiting feels intolerable. Food delivery replaces cooking, not because we lack the ability, but because effort feels unnecessary. Simulations operate on this principle. They provide social interaction without the risk of rejection, entertainment without boredom, and productivity without inefficiency. In these curated environments, struggle is not a feature. At first, this feels empowering, like the world finally adapting to our needs. But ease breeds dependency. When discomfort vanishes, so does the ability to manage it. Why endure loneliness when social media offers instant validation? Why wrestle with uncertainty when algorithms serve only the information that reinforces what you already believe? The more we lean into convenience, the more fragile we become, and the simulations grow stronger because of it. The dopamine machine. At the core of every simulation is reward. Social platforms, gaming environments, and streaming services operate by exploiting one of the most ancient systems in the brain, dopamine. Dopamine isn't just the pleasure chemical. It's the mechanism that drives motivation, reinforcing behaviors that feel good and pushing us to repeat them. Evolutionarily, this was vital. Dopamine rewarded actions that ensured survival, like eating or forming social bonds. But technology hijacks this process. A notification, a like, a new episode, all trigger microbursts of dopamine. The brain interprets them as successes, even if no tangible accomplishment has been achieved. Simulations are designed to keep these loops running. The more we engage, the more dopamine rewards us, and the cycle continues. Over time, the brain learns that simulated rewards are easier to obtain than those rooted in the real world. The result? Effort feels unnecessary. Delayed gratification becomes intolerable. Boredom, once a driver of creativity, feels unbearable. In this way, simulations condition us to seek satisfaction immediately, altering not just behavior but expectation. Control, without the burden of choice. One of the most seductive aspects of simulations is control. Unlike the real world, where chaos reigns, simulated environments respond predictably. Algorithms learn your habits, anticipate your needs, and craft a space tailored to your desires. But control in simulations is not true autonomy, it is illusion. You do not dictate the structure of the simulation, you simply operate within the framework provided. The sense of power comes from how well the environment mirrors your preferences. Yet, paradoxically, the more control you feel, the less agency you actually have. You scroll endlessly not because you choose to, but because the feed never stops offering content. You curate your friendships, but only from the pool the algorithm suggests. You feel seen, but only by those who reflect back what you already believe. Simulations provide certainty, not freedom. And the certainty they offer is addictive, reinforcing the belief that the real world, with its randomness and discomfort, is best avoided. The quiet drift. It's not that we lose touch with reality overnight. The drift into simulations is gradual, almost imperceptible. A preference for easier communication becomes reliance. a moment of digital distraction becomes habit. Over time, the mind begins to rewire itself, adapting to a world where everything is streamlined and feedback is instant. And that rewiring does something subtle but profound. It shortens attention spans. It diminishes the value of effort. It reshapes how we process conflict and resolve challenges. Human nature doesn't change. But how it manifests shifts under the weight of simulation. The instincts that once propelled survival now propel engagement, and the environments designed to cater to them grow stronger as a result. Adaptation or conditioning? The critical question is this: are we adapting to simulations, or are simulations conditioning us? Adaptation implies growth, a capacity to evolve alongside new tools. Conditioning, on the other hand, suggests something darker. It implies the quiet erosion of choice, replaced by behavior that feels natural but is externally driven. Perhaps the answer lies somewhere between the two. Technology reflects human desires, but in doing so, it amplifies them, creating worlds that mold us in return. Simulations thrive not because they oppose our nature, but because they exploit it. And as we lean further into these curated spaces, we risk becoming less like the architects of simulation and more like its subjects.